the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Welcome to Exploring the Word. Merry Christmas.
And we do wish you a Merry Christmas here on Exploring the Word. This is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and it's good to be back in the saddle again. I took some days off to be with family. We had a great time, and I appreciate Jim Stanley and Jeff Shambly sitting in, and I know y'all had a great time, Alex.
Well, we missed you, as we always do, but we are so blessed. Jim Stanley is a great blessing and a wealth of biblical knowledge. Jeff Shambly, very wise handler of the Word. But it is good to have you back, Bert. And but, you know, the operative word is family, the American Family Association. So we understand, and we're glad you got to be with your family. And let me just say, with Christmas coming, you know, we're kind of in that proverbial home stretch. Christmas is coming soon. I do hope everybody can be a part of a church family. Hope you get to spend some time with your relatives, your family, and friends and loved ones. I don't know, Bert, Christmas makes me want to be with people, doesn't it, you?
It does, and it's a joy to have a church family to share it with and a family of blood that you share it with. And so it was a joy for us, Jan and myself, and we say thank you. And we met some people over the weekend that Alex wanted to say, man, enjoy Alex and Bert so much. And they've listened and continue to listen. And I met a pastor today, and I saw him at a funeral. I did a funeral for a lady. Her name is Sandra, and she had taught preschool. Now, she had to quit earlier because of health, but she taught preschool for over 50 years in her church. And, I just love to hear stories like that, giving yourself to teaching God's Word. But I met a pastor, and he said, it's good to put a face with the voice. And I said, are you sure about that? But anyway, we have people that listen, and we say thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And we are praying for those that are hurting at this time. It's the most joyous time, but it also can be the most difficult time. So we want to do that. It says, weep with those who weep, and rejoice with those who rejoice. Alex, we try to do that, don't we?
Well, we really do. We really do. And I've got to say something. I learn from you, Bert. I really do. And I'm here at Southside Baptist Church in Greensboro, North Carolina. They graciously, Pastor Howard McNeil, they let me use two rooms. One is a studio for radio and television, and the other is an office for our ministries. And different board members come here, and Angie and I work here a lot, but there's a library, and I was down the hall a couple hours ago working on research, and I saw a book, Bertha Smith, Missionary to China.
Amen.
And I thought, now I know who that is, thanks to Bert Harper, because you have talked about Bertha Smith. And so I pulled that book out and was reading through it a little bit, and Missions to China. The book was called Miss Bertha.
Yes.
Do you remember that book?
I do. I know that one too. Yes. Listen, Bertha Smith, she and the Culpeppers and Pearl Caldwell. Matter of fact, Pearl Caldwell, who was a missionary serving with Miss Bertha and the Culpeppers, was from Cherry Creek Baptist Church in Pontotoc County here in Mississippi. And our producer, Brent Austin, is a member at that same church, Cherry Creek Baptist Church. So really? Our connections with Miss Bertha goes a long, long way through connection. Jonathan Coker, our radio manager, network manager, that's where he goes to church as well. So, it runs deep, Alex. It's neat to see how God, over generation after generation, in churches and families, carry the message of Jesus Christ around the world. It may be in person, like Bertha Smith and Pearl Caldwell, or it may be on the radio waves, like we're doing now. But the message of Jesus Christ, He saves. He really does, doesn't He?
He does, and I give God the glory. I had the privilege, earlier this morning, I was on Real Truth, hosting for Jeff Shreve. And by the way, tonight I'll be on the Hamilton Corner, and tomorrow night as well. But a caller called in this morning and said, hey, I learn a lot from you and Bert, and we give God the glory. If you can't tell, I'll just let you know, we're excited about truth. We're excited Amen. About the Word of God. But when people say that they've learned some things, just like I've learned a lot from you, it really means the world to us. Because I'll say this, and then I want to get into Micah chapter 5, that the great revivals, and, you know, there was the Great Awakening under Jonathan Edwards, and there was the Reformation under Martin Luther. But whenever there's a great move of God's Holy Spirit, a number of things, prayer, repentance, salvations, but great awakenings generally carry with them literacy, obviously yeah. biblical literacy,
yeah.
but also just learning and what we would call the life of the mind. And so when people say the AFR radio programming has helped them grow, or maybe exploring the Word has opened their mind to the Word of God, we rejoice in that, don't we?
We really do. I just want to share with you, you know, we learn. We're lifelong learners, as I've learned from Alex, he from me, as he said. But we also have learned from our callers. We've got unique questions that cause Alex and myself to scratch our head and say, man, that's a good thought. Let's go there and see. And we appreciate that so much. Now, Amen. Today, we're not taking calls. I'm just announcing this early. We're not taking calls. We're not able to today. But we do have a special, I'm going to add a third special treat in the third segment. You want to make sure and be here and hear that, and we think you'll enjoy it. But, Alex, yes, you said chapter 5. Let me just say chapter 5, verse 1, and then with verse 2, notice there's a but in between those, which means, okay, there's something different. And chapter 5, verse 1 refers back to what's happened in chapter 4 with the daughters of Zion, Mount Zion, and all the turmoil, the judgment that came upon them. And let me read chapter 5, verse 1, and then read the first part of verse 2, and you'll see the contrast. Now gather yourself in troops, O daughter of troops. You know, that's, I think, city of Jerusalem. He has laid siege against us. They will strike the judge of Israel with a rod on the cheek. Now, again, judgment, harshness coming. But then chapter 5, verse 2, but you, Bethlehem Ephratah. Now, what is the difference? Been talking about Jerusalem, but now we go to a little town called Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm.
But you, and it's personal, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, now contrast that again, Jerusalem city, big, though little, Bethlehem, among thousands, there's other thousands of small towns, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting, that means eternal. Now, Alex, chapter 5, verse 2, it stands alone, now, or by itself, okay, it really mm-hmm. does. But when you contrast that in mind, as I was studying it for chapter 5 and verse 1 of chapter 4 and verse 1 of chapter 5, it adds great dimension to it. What a mm-hmm. contrast. And doesn't the Word of God do that quite a bit? Contrast. This is what you have, but this is what you could have. And yes. here it is. Out of this judgment, they looking to rule Jerusalem. There's going to come a ruler that's eternal. That's a great promise, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And let me say, God is so meticulous and, frankly, rigorous and careful about the preservation of His Word, the fulfillment of His prophecies. Bethlehem is amazing because there was an archaeological discovery called the Amarna letters, A-M-A-R-N-A, the Amarna letters, about 238 ancient cuneiform tablets that describe things 1,400 years plus before the birth of Christ. In fact, the Amarna tablets reference Joshua, but also this, that at Bethlehem, the Israelites were fighting the Canaanites. This is centuries before the birth of Jesus Christ. And so it's interesting, the land of Canaan, even before the life of Joshua, this goes way back. And Bert, when I was in Israel, we couldn't go into Bethlehem. We got kind of near it. But there were these rock walls that were kind of like livestock pens that they said go back to the Canaanite era. And so what's amazing is that this Bethlehem goes back for centuries. I mean, this is reality, and archaeological discoveries like the Amarna letters prove this. But let's say this about the Micah 5:2. Out of thee will come one whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Well, that couldn't be a human person. It would have to be, because the word there in the Hebrew means from the days of eternity. Isn't that something? Bethlehem, you're a little bitty city, not even making it onto a map, but out of you will come one whose goings forth have been from the days of eternity.
Yes.
That's just amazing.
It is, Alex. And I was ready to go to Israel one time, and I found out if we went, we couldn't go into Bethlehem, so I canceled out, I tell you. And I waited for, quote, another season, and we got to spend the nights. When Janet and I were there, we spent the night in Bethlehem, which is unusual. Most people stay in Jerusalem. We stayed in Bethlehem. And I just want to tell you, it was amazing. Let's talk a little bit about this. I'm not want to make a large discussion, but Bethlehem has a great history. Now, here I got a contract. Nazareth, where Jesus would be raised, had no history. No wonder he said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? No prophets, no military heroes. No history. They don't even know how it started and everything about it. But Bethlehem, on the other hand, we know Rachel was buried there.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. Genesis 35:19.
Yeah, Boaz and Ruth, Alex, mm-hmm. and then David. But with all that great history, the way I present it, and I have a sermon where I preach on Nazareth, Bethlehem, and Jerusalem, the cities of the Nativity. And it's kind of I love geography, so I preach it that way. But I talk about Bethlehem. Man, you got a great history, but you got something better coming. Jesus. Isn't that the truth?
Well, 1 Samuel 16 and 2 Samuel 23 say that David's family came from Bethlehem. And then, you know, I can't really pronounce all these words, but there's a place outside of Bethlehem. It's really kind of right near Bethlehem, but it's called Migdal Eder, E-D-E-R. But here's the thing. It was there that is the place called the Field of Boaz.
Yeah.
It's also called Shepherd's Field, but there's a very specific kind of sheep that were raised there, the lambs that would ultimately be used in temple sacrifice. And the shepherds of Bethlehem, they were very often visited by priests who wanted to make sure they were doing things just right. All the ordinances were observed. In other words, for lack of a better word, kosher, that way before these lambs would be sacrificed as a temporary covering on the altar, they had to be bred and raised and tended according to all the dictates of the law. But see, here's the thing. These shepherds, we're going to hear about the good shepherd, the final Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world, Jesus, born in Bethlehem.
All I got to say is, what a story. It is the story of eternity. It's the reality of truth. Jesus Christ, He is the one. He is the ruler out of Israel that comes forth forever and ever. We'll be back with more right after this break.
We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Good tidings we bring to you.
Welcome back. Those good tidings of Christmas. We do wish you a very Merry Christmas. We just hope it's a blessed time for you. And listen, make sure Sunday, December 22nd coming up, or maybe there's a Christmas Eve service in your town. It's a great time during Christmas to try to get somebody under the sound of the gospel. And so be in church during this Christmas season. By the way, we're in Micah chapter 5, and let me read 4. We can go back to 3. We read Micah 5:2, which is just universally acknowledged to be a prophecy. Now, this is about 500 years before the birth of Jesus, but the place of his incarnation would be Bethlehem. Verse 4 says, of this one whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord. Now remember, Jesus said, my meat, M-E-A-T, is to do the will of my Father. How do you get your sustenance and your nutrition? Well, he will feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord, his God, and they shall abide. Now listen to this. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. Bert, the name of the Savior, the Christ of Christmas, that name for centuries and centuries has been and is and forever will be great to the ends of the earth.
Alex, when you read this and you know him as your Savior and you know that what he has done, what he is doing right now, what he's going to do, it breaks out in adoration of praise for who he is. And I agree. And now he shall be great to where the ends of the earth. Now, again, we got to bring this in. How missional is God? You know, the Jews. Yeah, the Jews were his people chosen, not just for salvation, but take the message of salvation to the world. Now, in our day, because of what Jesus, he came into his own received him not. But those that would trust him, and we call them the body of Christ, the church, guess what? We're to take that message to the ends of the earth. Alex, he is known. We're to make him known. And guess what verse 5 says? And I just couldn't get over this. The first part of verse 5, and this one shall be peace. If you want real peace, you won't find it in a bottle. I'm going to do a preacher thing. You won't find it in a bottle. You won't find it in a pill. You won't find it anywhere just in a relationship that is man-made. You find it in the one Jesus Christ. He is the peace that passes all understanding. He brings peace, the peace of God, and he makes you have peace with God. I love that. And this one shall be peace. Alex, Now, I, you know I'm doing contrast. I just love it. Notice it says, if you read chapter 4, and you'll find the judgments that coming, and if you read chapter 5, following verse 5, and you'll find the judgments that coming, although he says the remnant of Jacob is secure, and I'm going to use them. But here it says, this ruler, this person, shall be peace. It's peace in the midst of the storm. It's peace when everything is falling apart. It's peace when you don't even understand what is going on. This is the one. And those of you who are listening today, right now, wherever you are, driving, if you're at work, whatever you may be doing, if you're looking for real peace, it is only found in this relationship with this ruler that shall come out of Bethlehem, none other than Jesus Christ. Alex, he is the Prince of Peace, isn't he?
Well, he really is, and he is the Prince of Peace. Verse 5 says, when the Assyrian shall come into our land. Now, the Assyrian, you know, Israel has had many enemies, Canaanites, Philistines, Edomites. Really, the Assyrian kind of represents all of the enemies that have fought against Israel. And this man, whoever this man is that comes out of Bethlehem, now we know it's Jesus, but he will be their protector. And it speaks about him in the field, in the palaces, and they, the shepherds, it says, we raise against him, or in other words, with him, really, seven shepherds and eight principal men, and they shall waste the land of Assyria with the sword in the land of Nimrod in the entrances thereof. In a way, and I don't want to be too simplistic, but the oppression of Israel by the Assyrians really represents military and political oppression. The land of Nimrod really represents spiritual and occultic oppression. And let me say, Bert, we're in a world of struggle. Matthew 11, verse 12, it says, "The kingdom of God has suffered violence." Look, Satan, whether it's witchcraft, occult, paganism, secularism, atheism, wokeness, culturally, economically, spiritually, Satan's always been trying to fight against God's truth and God's people. And I think that's a little reference there. But this man who is the peace, verse 6, will deliver us from the Assyrian when he comes into our land, when he treads within our borders. Now, here in the 21st century, although, by the way, folks, the Assyrians will attack Israel in the last days, but it might be called Hezbollah or Hamas. But anyway, here's the thing. You might not be facing, Canaanites or Philistines or Assyrians or, you know, Sumerians, but you might be facing depression or financial hardship or overcoming bad habits that seem to have you bound. Bert, there is deliverance, protection, and restoration in Jesus.
Amen, Alex. Preach it, brother. I want to notice this. Look at the second line of verse 5. When. Now look at verse 7. Then. Okay, Here it is. When this happens, the Assyrians, when Nimrod, I think you're exactly right, the occultic, that which is false religion of all kinds. Then the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many peoples. Listen to this. And here it is, like dew from the Lord, like showers on the grass. They tarry for no man, nor wait for the sons of men. Now what that is, this is a refreshing. This is the time, and it comes about, and is not through, because he's going to talk about in verse 8, and the remnant of Jacob, it's in verse 7, that's in verse 8, shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people. Very similar, just like it's talking about, the midst of many people. And here's the simile here. Like a lion among the beasts of forest, like a young lion among flocks of sheep. Alex, again, this remnant, although the world has tried to destroy, tried to do away, God still has this people. Romans 11 talks about it. He still has these people. And he is working. He's working in the church, but he has this small amount, and many of them are in the church, Jew and Gentile, in churches together. But God is bringing it about, his purpose and his work in that, and it is a time when they can be refreshed with the dew. They can stand and know that God is on their side, a lion. So, Alex, when I read this, I look at the future. Yes, I do. But also, I look at God's purposes, not just in the future, but God's working now to bring about his promises for the future. Did I say that clear enough?
You're right. And just, you know, they call the lion the king of the beasts. And if you've ever seen a lion up close, it's an impressive sight, no doubt. The remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people as a lion. Just like, you know, the lion is the big king of the jungle, right? Well, Israel, right now, if you think about the nation of Israel, comparatively small land mass, always being bullied and pushed around by the UN and, you know, I mean, it's only the nation of Israel that is like not allowed to win a war and defend itself. Well, the day is coming, let me tell you, that little nation of Israel is going to be the top of the mountain. I mean, it really is.
Amen.
We've talked about it many times. Like if you go to Israel and Bert and I, We'll keep you posted. We very well may be going with Tim Wildman in March of 2026. Stay tuned on that. But, you know, whenever you see the city of Jerusalem, I mean, you're looking and everybody is speechless because we know, I mean, that is God's city, right?
Yes.
And that's why we've often said the greatest favor that that any president could do the American people is be a friend of the nation of Israel. Here's the thing. It says in verse 9 that thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. Look, I'm a Christian. My message is Jesus. Believe in Jesus. But the Bible tells us so much about world history, and I don't think you can understand the present world of the 21st century culturally, governmentally, spiritually. You can't understand the world unless you understand the Bible. And that's why when God promises Israel, look, all of your adversaries will be subservient to the power of God that's on the people of Israel and the nation of Israel, all your enemies will be cut off. Whenever, you know, terrorist groups and Islamic nations, periodically they decide they're going to vanquish Israel, how's that working for you? Never. Let me read a little more of this, yeah. And we're going to comment. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots. These are the enemies of God. And I will cut off the cities of thy land and throw down all thy strongholds. I will cut off witchcrafts out of thy hand. Thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images also I will cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the work of thine hands. Remember I said there is political and spiritual oppression. And look, why is God so insistent, like in Deuteronomy 6, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. Why does the Ten Commandments say, you will have no other gods before me? Bert, God's insistence that he and he alone be worshiped, it's because he loves us. Because, see, Satan, the father of lies, the destroyer, John 10:10, Satan has countless ways for you to be lost and destroyed. There's one way for you to live and be saved, and that's through Jesus. God is inflexibly insistent on fidelity to God and God alone because he loves us and doesn't want us to be lost.
Look how he does this, Alex, and it is through these descriptive words of judgment that you see it. Listen to them carefully. Cut off, destroy, throw down, and then it says, I will pluck out. These words is God doing it. In other words, here it is. No matter what they try to do, no matter what defenses they try to put up, God has what it takes in order to do what he said he would do. He could cut off or he can pluck out. He can throw it down or whatever he desires to do. Thus, verse 14, I will destroy your cities. Now, again, those things that's in your life, and Alex, let's go back for just a moment. What you said earlier, which was so accurate, Assyria, the military aspect of it, Nimrod, the spiritual, the occultic, whatever that is that's in the lives of those of you who are listening, it could be alcohol addiction, drug addiction, it could be pornography, whatever the issue is.
And could even be anger and unforgiveness.
Yeah, it sure could. It could be any of that. God, listen, and you're using it as a reason. Listen, God wants to deliver you from that. He wants to take you out of that horrible pit, out of that miry clay, and set your feet upon a rock and put a new song in your heart. That's what God desires. And cutting off these things, destroying these things, Alex, is for their good. You know, it is for their good. So when you've come to the end, those of you listening, come to the end, and you say, man, this alcohol is not doing it anymore. This drug choice, this anger that I have, this oppression that I feel, it's not doing it for me like it used to. getting more money and putting more money in my bank account hadn't brought peace into my life. Listen, it's only in Jesus Christ that you can find that. Go back, if you would, to verse 5, the first part. This one shall be peace. He can bring peace into your life. He can bring stability into your life. He is the one. Everything else will fail. Alex, there's nothing that will ever stand up in that day except that relationship we have with Jesus Christ. Nothing, is there?
No, there isn't. There isn't. And do you know, I saw a documentary recently on the problem of poverty in America. And what really makes my heart heavy, in many of the most impoverished areas, there are the abortion clinics, there are the liquor stores and the lottery. And there are so many things, and I think they're from Satan, Satan has a lot of human operatives, but things to harm people, poverty, drunkenness, substance abuse, domestic violence, pornography, abortion. It says in verse 14 that God's going to pluck all that stuff away.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Let me tell you, the day is coming, and Christ wants you to be ready. Turn to Jesus, and you'll be ready.
That's right. Hey, we got a special segment coming up. You don't want to miss it. And I think you will be blessed as we continue with Exploring the Word.
We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion. And every day, their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.
Go and tell it up on the mountain top or the hills. You can go tell it everywhere. Go and tell it. Tell everyone that Jesus Christ is born.
Amen. That's what we want to do on Exploring the Word, and we encourage you to do so. Many times we will end our program by saying, tell someone about Exploring the Word, but tell everybody about Jesus. And that's what this program's about. But we're going to do something special today. We're not taking phone calls today. If everything goes right, get everything settled, we will tomorrow. And then on Friday we're going to do a turn the table, fire away Friday. Alex, Brent, and myself have the questions, and you're going to get to answer these Christmas questions. And we're looking forward to that Friday. But today, Alex, what we're doing today, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we're playing some of our favorite hymns. And today is Brent's day, Alex.
Okay.
And it's not Jingle Bells. I just want to tell everybody that it's not Jingle Bells, okay?
Okay. Frosty the Snowman.
Oh, no, man. Brent, okay.
You guys are crazy.
I know we are. But we are going to, and tomorrow will be your favorite, and then Thursday will be today. That since Brent took this one, I had to go elsewhere, but these are my two top two.
I didn't take it. You gave it to
me. Yeah, I gave it to you because I knew I had one in reserve.
Exactly.
Okay.
Brother Brent,
yeah.
What is your favorite Christmas song?
It is Silent Night.
Okay, who's singing this version, brother?
This version is done by Squire Parsons, not to be mistaken for Square Parsons.
Okay. Okay. Well, Alex, we're going to hear the whole thing, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the history of it, the biblical foundation for it, and I think it'll be great. You and I both enjoy listening to music. You can produce it, but I enjoy it a lot. So let's listen to this one. Brent, go right ahead, man.
Yeah.
so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, and thy birth. Jesus, Lord, and thy Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
Okay, what a song. Alex, I'm not sure there's anything better than that. It's been the most recorded, I think. And so I've asked Brent to give his highlights. That was his song that he picked out, and I'm glad he picked it myself.
Amen.
Brent,
I love it.
Tell us a little bit.
Well, it was composed in 1818 by Franz Gruber, and lyrics were done by Joseph Marr. The United Nations Educational, Scientific, Cultural Organization said it was the an intangible cultural heritage by them in 2011. Let's see. I've got some more here. The carol's been translated in about 300 languages.
That's amazing.
And it's been recorded on the record charts 11 times by artists like Percy Sledge, Enya, Josh Groban, Mariah Carey, Elvis Presley, Nat King Cole, and, of course, one of my favorites, The Temptations. And Frank Sinatra also did it.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow.
Alex, let me read the first, the first part of its segment. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. What a line. But again, what had happened? Let's make sure we get this. The organ at this church was not working, and they still wanted to have some Christmas songs. So this is a song that was first played with a guitar, and the words and the music was set. It's not a big orchestration, simply a guitar, the lines as he set that and shared it, and
yeah,
it's touched the world. What did you say? Over 300 translations?
Yes, 300.
And it was a German song, Alex.
Well, I do love this song. And Brent, I'm so glad you brought this song to the forefront. Silent Night, we've all heard it. Bert, for a good 10 years, I did the Christmas Eve service at a very historic church, the second oldest church in the state of North Carolina, and the oldest continually used church in the state, Buffalo Presbyterian, almost 275 years old. And what we would always do, we would take that one candle, and all the lights are out, and we would begin to sing Silent Night, and one by one light that candle. And, of course, by the end of the song, the sanctuary, that historic sanctuary, was bright with the lights of 300 candles because Jesus is the light of the world. But listen to this. Franz Gruber and Joseph Moore is like the afternoon. And Brent, did you say it was 1818?
Yes, 1818, that's right.
Yeah, so what's so beautiful is, I mean, the organ was out, and so they, you know, with just a couple of hours before the Christmas Eve services, they composed what is one of the most recorded songs. I was trying to figure out if this is the most recorded song, but they estimate there are 137,000 different recordings of this. But listen to this. Joseph Moore had this guitar, and there's a video on YouTube of Bing Crosby. I think it was 1968. The Silent Night guitar was toured around America, and it was lent to, I don't know if it was the Smithsonian, but anyway, on the Bing Crosby Christmas show, and this video is very stirring, Bing Crosby shows the guitar, the actual guitar, which now is at this chapel there in Austria, but they sing it in German. That was the original language, and it's very moving, but the words are so beautiful. Round yon virgin, mother and child, the angels, the adoration of the shepherds, Mary Joseph, and the light of the world, King Jesus. And Bert, isn't it something that one of the world's most beloved songs, so many of the world's most cherished pieces of art, music, architecture, it's all about Jesus.
It is.
He is the focal point of history.
He really is. And whether they want to call it Common Era or BCE before Common Era, it's still about Jesus. When you write this number down, 2024, you're proclaiming Jesus Christ. That's his. He is the centerpiece of it all. The second segment, I want to just read it. The words beautifully said into music. But I wouldn't dare sing it. I'd ruin it, but I can read it. Yeah. Silent Night, Holy Night. Listen to this. And you've already referred to the shepherds. Shepherds quake at the sight. Glory stream from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts sing hallelujah. Alex, can you imagine those shepherds? And you've already gone over it. We went over it earlier in this program that these are the shepherds, probably more than likely, keeping watch over the sheep that will, you know, real close to the temple that would be used as sacrifice. So here it is, shepherds quake at the sight. When I read that and I think, man, what would it be like? We're talking about shepherds who are, even if they were the keepers of those kind of sheep, Alex, they're still outcast. They smell, they're the lower end of the, you know, the social strata. And here it is, God uses his magnificent angels to announce to them, today is born in the city of Bethlehem a Savior, which is Christ the King. So those shepherds heard that. They're the first ones. You know, Jerusalem wasn't far away where King Herod would be. You know, God could have made himself known to Rome if he wanted to. No, but God chose the shepherds. He chose Bethlehem. God just turns everything upside down, doesn't he? right side up.
Yes, exactly. Well, and this is Luke 2, 8 and following. You know, Luke 2, 9, lo, the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they, the shepherds, were sore afraid or like terrified. And that's why that song says, shepherds quake at thy sight. But as angels always say, that two-word salutation, fear not.
Amen.
Why not be afraid? Because I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, that's Bethlehem, the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And Bert, as you mentioned, that these shepherds were raising lambs for temple sacrifice. And of course, John, in John chapter 1, would later say of Jesus, when Christ began his public ministry at age 30, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In other words, look, there he is. There's Jesus, the final one who will be the last lamb ever sacrificed, the Lamb of God. And I've said it so many times, but Bert, it thrills my heart. It blows my mind. The wonderful, greatest story ever told that God has crafted and revealed to the human race, the coming of Jesus.
Amen. Now, let's go to the third segment. You know, it is powerful. Listen to this declaration that was given in 1818, and it's straight from the Word of God that we know who Jesus is. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, loves pure light. Alex, he is the Son of God. Listen, yes, he is God, the incarnation, God becoming flesh and dwelling among us. The other thing, before you or Brent, either one say anything, loves pure light. Now, here it is, Jesus, love, light, and life, all those three L's in our English language. But here in this, it says, loves pure light. If you really want to be enlightened, okay, know of the love of God through Christ Jesus in this relationship. Well, this song, I would say, is missional and evangelistic, Alex.
Well, and the word love, L-O-V-E, apostrophe S, that L is capitalized, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, 1 John 4 says God is love, okay? Now, John chapter 1, it says that light has come in the world and the darkness has not overcome the light. Now, I want to be clear. When I was a little kid and I would hear that, silent night, holy night, Son of God loves pure light. As a child, I thought, I'm like, oh, the Son of God, he sure must love light. No, L-O-V apostrophe S, God is love. And Jesus, who came into this world, is love's pure light.
Hallelujah.
You see what I'm saying?
It is.
And
it
it's
is
important.
Exactly. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Hey, Alex, before we go, Brent, any last word? Thank you for choosing this song.
Well, thanks for letting me. When I was a kid, I grew up in a little mobile home on the side of the road, and, you know, we didn't have a lot. We lived with my mom and I and my sister all live with my grandparents, five of us in a little mobile home on the side of the road. Everything was ramshackle, this and that furniture, nothing matched and everything, you know. But at Christmas time, we put the little artificial tree up. You could sit there in the dark and listen to Bing Crosby sing that, and it's just, you know, everything was right. God was with me even way back then.
Thank you, Brent. Thank you for that. Alex, God is good all the time, isn't he?
He sure is. Thank you, Brent. Thank you, Bert. And thanks, everybody, for listening. We hope you're just in the Christmas spirit. Are you feeling it? Let Jesus put a smile on your face, a song in your heart, and joy throughout your life, because Christmas is proof that God loves us and God loves you. Tell somebody about the great programming of the American Family Radio Network, if you would. Most of all, tell everybody about Jesus, and tell somebody, Merry Christmas.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.